Zambia has come a long way in its fight against HIV. This country has one of the highest infection rates in the world. Yet a decade ago, government clinics provided no drugs to treat the virus.
And that time, I think we just looked at patients and watched them die.
Peter Mwaba remembers those dark times vividly. He was a practicing physician back then. Now he runs Zambia's Ministry of Health. He says things started to improve in 2002. That's when the government launched a pilot program to provide antiretroviral drugs, ARVs. But the funding was minuscule, and very few people could be treated.
It meant that the people who we initially put on ARVs had to have some form of income to add to the government money. And it meant that the few drugs that we managed to bring in were rationed.
Today, there is no formal rationing of ARVs. In fact, thanks to hundreds of millions of dollars donated by the United States and other countries, the drugs are now available free to all Zambians who need them.
We are now talking about 300,000 people on ARVs, and I'm quite pleased with it that it has come this way.
You can see how dramatic the scale-up has been on a typical day in Kanyama, a sprawling shantytown on the outskirts of Lusaka. At 8:30 in the morning, 90 people have already lined up outside the HIV treatment clinic. Men in work clothes and women in colorful dresses sit on benches along a covered walkway. Others squat on the ground or perch on upturned cinder blocks. They wait for their names to be called. The nurse in charge, Mwaijumba Labunda, says there's always a crowd.
It has always been busy, very busy. And this time it's becoming so busier.
The clinic has enrolled 18,000 patients to date. Each day, another 15 to 20 are added. This tiny facility and about two dozen others like it in Lusaka have saved far more lives than people thought possible a decade ago. And yet this success hides a more complex story.
There's not an explicit rationing plan in Zambia, but if you look closely, you'll find that there are situations that are causing rationing.
Jeff Stringer is an American doctor in Lusaka. He runs an organization affiliated with the University of Alabama that provides technical support to Zambia's HIV treatment clinics. Among the things his team does is track statistics, and what they've found is troubling. At the government HIV clinics in the past few years, a growing number of patients have stopped showing up. They're not coming for checkups and blood tests. They're not picking up their pills.
Over half of the patients who have initially been enrolled in the program, we now don't know where they are.
Some patients may have died or moved away. Others may have stopped taking drugs because they don't like the side effects. But Stringer believes there's another important reason many have not returned. He says, consider a visit to Kanyama Clinic from a patient's point of view. A patient like Wesley Makandawire. He's a shop owner and father wearing neatly pressed slacks. He's been on ARVs for 5 years. I find him in the waiting area outside the clinic, wedged between others on a bench.
There's a lot of people that have to be attended. So if they say, keep on waiting, then I have to keep on waiting.
He arrived at 8. For hours, he waits. A woman nearby knits. A man dozes. Finally, at noon, Makandawire is called in for a counseling session.
Do you have any problems like swallowing your drugs?
No.
It lasts 5 minutes. Then he has to wait again. He joins 100 patients packed into a tiny space outside the pharmacy. He says it can take several more hours for his prescriptions to be ready.
Sometimes even 4 hours.
4 hours?
Yes.
Just for the drugs?
Yes. You have to wait up to here.
And he'll endure the wait again next month when he returns to get his prescriptions refilled. Concilia Muhau is also a patient, and she works at Kanyama Clinic. She says long waits have become the norm.
You find that people would stay for almost, maybe we are talking about 7 hours, just waiting to be attended to.
Have you found that there are some clients who just won't come anymore because the line's too long?
Yeah, we have such kind of clients. If they think of coming to the clinic and spend the whole day here just to be attended to, they decide to stay at home.
Patients may be especially likely to skip appointments after they've taken drugs for a while and are feeling healthy. But of course, if they go off those drugs, they'll get sick again. The clinic tries to track down those who go missing. but it doesn't have the resources to find all of them. In fact, a lack of human resources and space is the fundamental problem behind the long lines, says the American doctor Jeff Stringer. He says Lusaka's HIV clinics have simply enrolled more patients than they can handle.
So the way that that care is rationed is through a queue. Patients who are able to get to the clinic early, patients who were able to wait in line for a long time, those are the ones who can actually be seen. And if you've got a vegetable stand and you can't get away from your business for 4 or 5 hours to go pick up your ARVs, well, then you may be out of luck. So what's happened is that the facilities are not willing to say explicitly, we can treat you and we can't treat you. These things aren't explicitly stated, but they're implicit in the way that the queue works.
This kind of implicit rationing tends to discourage certain categories of patients. For instance, those with young children to look after or with full-time jobs. Constance Mudenda is an HIV educator in Lusaka. She says long lines are an especially big problem for those who've kept their HIV status hidden.
So it is very difficult, even their bosses, to give them a day off to go and get their drugs because they're not telling them exactly what they're going to do. They'll just say, no, I have to go to town, I've got this problem. And the boss will just say, okay, I've given you 2 hours. You come back after 2 hours.
It's not clear what percentage of Lusaka's HIV patients have been driven away by the long lines. But health economists say this type of unintentional rationing is common, including in the United States. Consider the long lines at inner-city emergency rooms, or the long waits, sometimes months, to see a specialist. Boston University health economist Sidney Rosen says, as a form of rationing, queuing has downsides and upsides.
I think you'd have to say that it stacks up reasonably well on a fairness criterion, in that anyone can get into the queue. You know, there's no constraint on who gets to stand in that line. But it's utterly inefficient in the sense that you might have 1,000 people losing a full day of otherwise productive time just waiting.
Rosen says African countries might be better off allocating HIV drugs in other ways. Perhaps workers most vital to the functioning of society should be able to skip the line. But how do you decide which workers those are? Perhaps priority should go to the poorest patients, those who can least afford any loss of income. Of course, what rationing method one chooses depends on what the goal is. Is it equity, economic efficiency, something else? Rosen says letting queues decide who gets treated sidesteps an important public discussion.
This is one way to avoid the problem of having to choose. And governments don't choose very well. It's politically unpopular and it's difficult.
And things are likely to become even more difficult. The Zambian government hopes to shorten the queues at HIV clinics by opening new clinics and making existing ones more efficient. But HIV continues to spread rapidly here and in much of Africa, and many people fear the money to treat the illness will not keep up. Funding from the United States and other donor countries is starting to level off as wealthy nations face their own budgetary constraints and reconsider their priorities, which means while countries like Zambia may be rationing HIV treatment unintentionally, on a global scale, the choices being made are intentional and explicit. Politicians in Europe and North America are deciding how much are they willing to spend in which countries to save how many lives in Africa. For The World, I'm David Barron, Lusaka, Zambia.